There is there are now multiple reports out there that Washington is gauging interest and that there are multiple teams interested in trading for cornerback Noah Igbinoghu. There you go. They're comfortable with everything they have. What could they get for him? I honestly have no idea. I would consider his value to be higher than Brian Robinson Jr.'s, believe it or not. So maybe some sort of conditional fifth rounder, you know, or a fifth round pick. But that's a guess. All right. College football gets underway in earnest. I mean, there was a few games last weekend. But we get the full week one. There are games Thursday night, Friday night, and then Saturday. It's Texas, Ohio State, high noon on Fox from Columbus. Number one versus number two. First time in history that one's met two in the opening week of the college football season. Stanford Steve from Scott Van Pelt's ESPN Sports Center and from ESPN's College Game Day was on my podcast the other day. Steve is very much a college football guy and makes picks every Saturday. Did very well with his picks last year on College Game Day. He'll be part of the crew with Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit and all the guys this Saturday. By the way, Lee Corso's final game day leading into the 12 o'clock games at noon. I started off by asking Steve if the game Saturday at noon, Texas and Ohio State, if that is a game that features the two teams that will be standing at the end.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not in my opinion. I think the two better teams are playing at Clemson that night.
Wow.
I really diving in on this stuff. I look at it's really different this year, Kevin, because last year when we had this conversation, you know, you talk about the Will Howards, the Cam Wards, you know, the guys that were coming to a school for 1 year and that the school was buying in on a 1 year transfer quarterback. Now, when you look at it, a bunch of the teams, it's all quarterbacks that have been within the program. You look at Arch, right, at Texas, come through the program, staying at Ohio State. He committed when Saban was the coach at Alabama. When he retired, he left for Columbus. You go down, you know, Nussmeier at LSU, Klubnik at Clemson. So Aller at Penn State, the Carr kid at Notre Dame, Ty Simpson at Alabama. Everywhere you look, Miami's like the one outlier that's going with the transfer. So I think there's a comfortableness within teams that have their guy, and there's not this not knowing of if this is going to work out. You know, does that make sense to you? Like,
they've
seen these guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And so I like that for a sense. I talked to people at Alabama and Georgia. There's a real strong, quiet confidence where it's like, hey, go ahead, talk about Ohio State, they won it last year, and talk about Texas with Arch, and talk about Clemson with Dabo being back. Like, they like what they have at those two schools, and they're laying in the weeds and have some opportunities early on to really show what they have. So I lean towards I did a top five, and I had Clemson 1, Penn State 2, Notre Dame 3.
Wow.
So
no Texas, no Ohio State.
No, I believe they were Texas lost a lot on the line of the scrimmage, man. Like, everybody's going to talk about Sark and the creative play call and this and that. But, like, they had NFL guy after NFL guy after NFL guy on the offensive and defensive line drafted. In Ohio State, I just think there's Ohio State's never going to rebuild. But as they reload, there's things that you want to see. And it sounds like they want to see more out of the quarterback. And that's why Keenholz, hung around with saying longer than people expected. But I love the idea that they're playing each other in these big early games, because one loss doesn't crush you anymore.
Right.
And also, with no preseason games in college, you really find out what you got, and you have plenty of time to make up for it. And that's the best thing about college football now. I mean, Ohio State lost the worst possible game they could have last year, and got it together and won the national championship.
That game was on the other night on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
I just still can't believe Ohio State lost to that Michigan team last year.
Yep. And,
crazy.
And to their credit, they come back and they win the national championship. You know, like that's the good stuff. That's like, I don't know if Ryan Day gets enough credit for that and what he was up against, knowing how long that 2 weeks was.
Remember, we were talking about job security after they lost that game.
Yep.
So you and I talk a lot about quarterbacks when we have these conversations, and I don't think this is going to be any different because I just don't get the excitement over Cade Klubnik. Why do people think that he actually has a chance to be a Heisman Trophy winner and the first pick in the draft next April?
I just look at what he's done in the second year of that offense. And secondly, he's got NFL receivers now. And it's been so long since Clemson. I mean, going back to the Deshaun Watson days where they had guys. But I also look at last year where they lost a running back, Mafah, who's on an NFL roster somewhere, and they really had to throw the ball. And then you go back to the situations that they were in where it was must win, you know, in the ACC championship game, and I actually watched the Texas-Clemson game last night. There's some freak turnovers off tip balls in that game. But I just – I mean,
Texas was the better team, though.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, it was one of those, is this a three-score game or is it a one-score game, you know? Like, going into that game.
God, I had Texas for the limit in that game last year. Loved them. I just thought Clemson was just so overrated. Just did not like them. In part because of the way I felt about the quarterback. But anyway, continue. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so when Mafah got hurt, he had to shoulder a bunch of his stuff, and he produced. I think it was 36 touchdowns and 6 picks. Through, you know, top 5 rating when you want to look at the QBR numbers and people want to do that and people are going to point to their schedule. I get it. But then I look at, like, McShay put out a mock and, like, the two defensive linemen are in the top 8 picks. Klubnik's up there. So it's just a combination of things that I really think he is set up to succeed. I mentioned the receivers. When you talk about Williams and Wesco and Moore, you know, they got some wiggle and some juice. And the ACC is not what the SEC or the Big Ten is. So when you go down the schedule, tricky game at Georgia Tech, who I think is going to be very good, and then the game at South Carolina at the end of the year. So it's set up. The road is there. But when you look at this day and age of college football and you talk about returning production, I want that. And nobody has more than Clemson, so that combines with my thoughts on what I feel about their talent, and I love the addition of Tom Allen on defense. I think that guy's a great coordinator, and he left Penn State to take over the Clemson job, and I expect big things from Clemson this year. I've also said if they beat LSU, I could see them going undefeated.
And LSU's had problems with these opening games during the Brian Kelly era here. You know, that Florida State game from a few years ago comes to mind.
They lost twice to them. Yeah, they lost in New Orleans on a botched extra point. And then the next year they played in Orlando, and Florida State just gave it to them. We saw Keon Coleman and all those guys. They dominated. But I said this to all my LSU buddies down there, too. I'm like, I love your team. I love Brian Kelly. I just don't like you week one. I think they're going to the playoff. The schedule sets up. They absolutely violated the portal as far as defensive linemen. The defense is healthy. They're going to play Perkins at that star position, which gets him in space, and he can rush the passer, which is what everybody wants. They revamped the secondary again, but it's bona fide starters from other programs. And the difference in the Sloan offense, who's their offense coordinator, as opposed to when Jaden was there with Denbrock, that's where I see it. They really struggle to run the football, and they had 4 offensive linemen drafted. So is there balance? That's where they got into trouble last year when they had that 3-game losing streak, too, is they didn't take an onus in running the football. And when I think of LSU, the great teams, that's what they did. They always had a guy there, and there was a balance there. So that's one thing that's got to get fixed for LSU when I look at them is having more balance, because it's only going to help your quarterback when you can run the football and put the ball in the running back's stomach.
James Franklin's team last year had a fourth quarter lead in the national semifinal. They ended up losing to Notre Dame. That was, I think, a necessary run for him. Are they good enough, and is he good enough to win the whole thing?
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. I go back, and now we're going to do this, Kevin, with these quarterbacks getting millions of dollars to stay in college. Like, I'm sitting there watching that game with Nick Saban, and Franklin decides, all right, there's minimal time left. We're going to go for it. Tie game, we're going to go for it. He put the ball in his quarterback's hand. James Franklin didn't throw that interception. James Franklin did not coach Drew Aller to throw back across the field in a 2 minutes. You know, that's on the quarterback, man. And they're going to get paid this money. They got to take some more accountability. I love Kotelnicki. I still don't understand how Warren didn't get the ball once against Ohio State on the goal line when he ran it down there for you. And I love Knowles coming over from Ohio State. When you look at them and watch them, they are as impressive a team physically now. The offensive line is 7-8 deep. The running backs are back. The receivers they brought in, I read, they had three receivers come in, and they accounted for 23 touchdown catches last year, and the receivers they had last year at Penn State only caught 12, and that includes not catching one ball against Notre Dame. So they addressed their needs. Defense, I think, is going to be lights out when you look across the board of the NFL guys they have there. The schedule is easy, and they get Oregon coming in the 27th, which will be an all-eyes moment because they don't play anybody before that. But no, I expect Penn State to be there in the national championship game.
Digress real quickly. Warren or Loveland, better NFL tight end?
I've watched them both a bunch this spring, and I think Warren is getting there. Warren, we used to call it collision escape, where you're running a route and you just collide into the linebacker, knowing that you're bigger, stronger, faster, and that's how you get open. You know, there's collision releases, all that. Loveland's way more polished as a route runner, but Warren just has to realize he can't do that anymore like he did in college. These guys are bigger and stronger, and he'll find it out. He learned a lot in that first game against the Ravens. Loveland's got serious juice. He'll put up better numbers, and he's more polished. He looks better. So I would leave Loveland.
Interesting. I was surprised that Loveland went before Warren, but you know tight ends for sure. All right.
I just look at the system also.
All right. So
drafted him.
The net of it is you think a better chance of a national championship preview is LSU-Clemson on next Saturday, Labor Day weekend, instead of Texas-Ohio State. Give me a team or two that you think from sort of the back of the pack ends up threatening a playoff berth and could be dangerous when we get to December and January.
Texas A&M. I love what Elko does. They got a schedule that'll give them opportunities. They go to Notre Dame early. They got a quarterback that's back that lit the world on fire last year when he got thrust into it. And then they struggled in their biggest game. Texas, you know, dominated them on the lines of scrimmage, and they scored 7 points in a win-and-take-all, go to the SEC title game at home. I was there, and it was tough to watch. They got super humbled. But, I think the world of Elko as a defensive mind, they get a kid from NC State and Casey Concepcion, which is exactly what they need. I thought he was the best receiver in the portal, and that's a kid that Marcel Reed needs. They have an awesome offensive line set up. They're deep there. You know they're going to have talent on defense. Their running backs are extraordinary, and they're a team that is my dark horse in the SEC. I really, really like what they bring to the table.
Sticking in the SEC, how much do you like South Carolina, and how much do you like their quarterback, Sellers?
I like Sellers. I don't love the team this year. I think they are a team, when you look at what you lost and you talk about returning, I mean, they lost guys. I mean, that defense was – I put them up there with anybody at the end of the season, you know, with the games that they won. But they're all gone. You know, now instead of having the young, Stewart opposite three NFL guys on that defensive line, he's all by himself. So now teams can game plan for him. Sellers, I hate to be easy, but like he just has to play more football. You know, you saw the good, but there still are plenty of games in there where it wasn't pretty. And, you know, he makes two runs against Clemson, and those are the two biggest plays in the game, and they win. You know, in the bowl game, you know, Illinois gave it to them. And that's going to be more of what South Carolina looks like this year than as opposed to last year. So they are a wait-and-see team for me. I really like Bama, Georgia, A&M, LSU. I like better than South Carolina. I put them in the category, say, with Auburn, okay, which is just so much you want to see. Like, they could knock off a couple of those top teams, no doubt. But, you know, when you look at this, can they get to 10-2, or is it more look like an 8-4? I lean towards the 8-4s there.
Is the best player in America Jeremiah Smith, wide receiver, Ohio State?
Yeah, I would lean that way. When you look at what he's capable of doing and having a relationship with Chip Kelly and just being able to talk to him about what he did off the field and hearing what guys, you know, thought of him and the way he stepped into a senior laden team that really needed him and just took everything in stride, I just thought is really, really special. So, yes, I believe he's the best player.
How many games does Maryland win?
Oh, you know, the schedule, if you want, I mean, Penn State and Ohio State and all those, they would die for Maryland's schedule. But Maryland doesn't have the personnel of those teams.
Right.
So when you look at what they're up against, they got a decision to make at quarterback. You know, you got the Martin kid from UCLA, and then you got Malik Washington, who's the local kid who looks absolutely fantastic. And you know Locks is going to get receivers. They went in the portal and got, I think, Farouk from Oklahoma, a stud. But now you look at what they lost. They lost their starting quarterback, their starting running back, both tight ends, top defensive linemen, two linebackers, three defensive backs all transferred out. Like, it's really hard to assess what you have. And, you know, you go to Wisconsin for your first Big Ten game on the 20th. You got to be 3-0 going into that game, and that's a winnable game, and that's kind of where I think it goes, because then, you know, you get Washington, Nebraska coming in. You got to go out to UCLA. I'll say 6-6. They go to a bowl.
Wow.
It's you know, the back end where you got Michigan. Like, how beat up are you? It always feels like,
yeah,
you know, well, they don't have depth on the lines of scrimmage, and you know they always had to play Penn State late. And I mean, even a Rutgers team that's going to be improved. You know, those teams are built from the line of scrimmage out, whereas Maryland, you watch them and it's like, wow, look at that skill guy, look at that skill guy. So, you know, a big step is the quarterback situation. It sounds like they want Malik to be the guy. But, you know, you got to be able to protect him, and that's the one thing I worry about. So 6-6, I believe, is the ceiling.
At Stanford Steve 82 on X on Twitter. He'll be a part of College Game Day once again, and that kicks off Saturday morning in Columbus, leading into Texas and Ohio State. That game's actually on Fox, but it's also going to be a special occasion, as it will be Lee Corso's final show. By the way, he mentioned Maryland. We have not talked a lot of Terps. We will talk a little bit more leading up to this weekend, maybe even on tomorrow's show. But they really do have one of those schedules that if they had, I think, a team from a couple of years ago with, you know, a Lua Tagovailoa at quarterback, they don't have Ohio State and Penn State on the schedule this year. They open up with Florida Atlantic at home in College Park Saturday at noon. They're a 14.5-point favorite. Northern Illinois and then Towson. And then they're at Wisconsin. They've got Washington, Nebraska at home, at UCLA, Indiana at home, at Rutgers, at Illinois. Illinois, in terms of the schedule, is the highest ranked team preseason they have on their schedule. They're ranked 12th. Michigan is on the schedule late in the year. Michigan's got that highly touted quarterback that basically, I think, Portnoy and some others paid for to leave LSU and go to Michigan, or renege on the LSU commitment, and then they close with Michigan State. Will be interesting to see if the Terps can put something together and what the quarterback situation looks at looks like. Malik Washington, a 6'5", 230-pound, highly touted quarterback out of the area. We'll see how quickly he gets into the lineup as a true freshman. Looking forward to the Terp season. Looking forward to the opener on Saturday against FAU. All right, when we come back, you know, we kind of lost track of the NFL Top 100 list. Well, Jaden made his appearance, but ESPN put out a Top 100 player list as well. Where did he land on that list? That and more, including an update on all of the cuts that Washington's made as they are moving down towards 53 by 4 p.m. today. Stay tuned for that. Our guy Max will have an update. Kevin Sciancio, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
That's right, Kevin. And here's what's happening on this Tuesday, August 26th. Diana Rossini and multiple reports across the NFL. The Commanders have been gauging multiple teams' interest in cornerback Noah Igbinoghene. Some sources say Noah I was a 2020 Dolphins first-round pick and can provide secondary depth for teams looking to add to their cornerback room. But also, two of the biggest NFL holdouts ended yesterday. First, with wide receiver Terry McLaurin signing his 3-year, $96 million extension to remain in Washington. Then, Trey Hendrickson and his camp came to a deal with the Cincinnati Bengals to play out this year with a $14 million pay bump. He's now set to make $30 million this season. Loads of movement around the NFL as we rapidly approach the 4 p.m. cut deadline. The Raiders have been quite active as they traded for Kenny Pickett last night and signed Amari Cooper to a one-year deal. Running back Audric Estime was waived by the Broncos, and the Giants have released quarterback Tommy DeVito. The Commanders have released linebacker Duke Riley, corners Esong Bassey and Bobby Price, D-lineman Jalen Holmes, defensive end Cleland Farrell, defensive tackle Norrell Pollard, center Nick Harris, tackles Tyree Phillips and Foster Sorrell, and wide receivers Braylon Sanders, Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, and Chris Moore. More on that throughout the day. Final cuts will be done at 4 p.m. The Nats, they lose to the Yankees by a score of 10-5. Tough night for Brad Lord as he goes 4 1/3 inning, giving up 7 runs on 8 hits. Cam Schlittler had a phenomenal night, throwing 6 scoreless innings, including 8 strikeouts. The Nats, they will reset versus the Yankees tonight. First pitch at 7:05. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:35 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.